You know, oftentimes when I hear our choir, actually just starting with the intro, it happens right at 11, I often think after that, you know what, nothing more needs to be said. The music, the words, and the way the voices come together give such a message. Whatever it is I need that day. Words, especially words apart from music, are so often misunderstood. So often taken the wrong way, taken out of context. Something very helpful and good might be said to us, but we hear it in a way that gets twisted. Any number of ways we can get out of sorts. Which brings us to our first scripture reading from Isaiah, the vineyard. So God has given us an extraordinary vineyard, a wonderfully fertile soil and great stock, great plants. And we can assume the perfect weather too. But something goes wrong, and instead of good grapes come out bad grapes. Now, actually, you're going to have to help me here because I know, I'd say, nothing about growing grapes. So tell me, I know some of you know more than me. What makes for good grapes besides what was already given? The good soil, the good plants, the good weather. What else do you need? If you don't know, guess.
You got to keep the bugs off it.
You got to keep the bugs off it, okay? You got to keep the bugs off it. And then I assume you have to know how to keep the bugs off it. So you've got to know which bugs aren't the good bugs for the grapes and how to keep them off. So you need some knowledge about bugs. What else?
Pruning.
Yes. You have to be willing to do some cutting. And you have to know what to cut and what not to cut. Water, yes, water. Water corresponds to truth. Need water. The right amount of water and the right quantity. What else?
Weeds.
You've got to pull up what's not, you've got to pull up what's obstructing your purpose, right?
Sun,
yes. Who knows what the sun corresponds to?
Love.
The light of the sun corresponds to love. And instead of sun shining on grapes, that it's able to shine on all of them. It doesn't just pick this one or that one. Sunshine.
You need a green sun.
You need a green sun. Okay. So what does that mean? You have to want those grapes to grow?
Something in you that would relate deeply to the grapes.
Something in you that would relate deeply to the grapes, that would yearn for those good grapes to grow. Your heart needs to be in it.
You have to tend to them.
And you have to tend to them now and then? Or more often than that?
Probably more often.
More often than that. You have to give them tender, loving care, the right kind of care. Not sometimes tender when it comes to pruning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They need support also, something to hold them up.
They need something to hold them up. They sure do, don't they?
A lot of timing when they're actually ready.
Timing for when they're ready. Yes, you have to know when to do what. You have to know when to pick them, right? And what?
Disease,
okay. So you have to tend to their health and well-being.
Good rootstock,
yes. Absolutely. And that's what it says in that Bible reading that we're given. Good rootstock.
Good fertilizer.
Good fertilizer. You all know a lot about growing grapes. I'm hearing in what you're saying that we need knowledge and understanding. And that's, so we need the truth. We need to know things. And also we need discipline and perseverance. We have to put our will into what we're doing. These are two key aspects from a Swedenborgian perspective on the nature of what God gives us. Knowledge, when we open our minds to it, and caring, when we open our hearts to it. There's a Bible quote in the last Harry Potter book. Who knows the Bible quote? A hint. It's on Dumbledore's mother's and sister's gravestone. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So like Margaret was saying, we have to, what we treasure, we have to treasure what it is that we're really working for. We need knowledge, we need care, we need to treasure. In Jesus' quote from today, talking about bringing division and not peace, he's talking about a vineyard that's growing bad grapes. He is helping us to see that when we're growing bad grapes, we have to see that we're growing bad grapes before we can put into any of the good practices, any of the things you've mentioned. We have to realize where we're off. So that's what he's talking about in terms of the divisions. We have to see what's not going right or what's not going smoothly in order to be able to do something about it, in order to grow good grapes. He's talking about the family, which for the Israelites was the very most precious thing they had, was their family. And he's saying how one will be against the other. He's actually saying how one is against the other. But he doesn't leave us there. And if you have any worries about that, read chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke. And go into chapter 13, just another page later, where he's talking about wanting to gather up all the children of Israel, all the children of Jerusalem. He says, like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He goes on in that passage about gathering the chicks, saying, but they won't let me. We're taught in our theology that love and truth pours in. All that we need to know about growing good grapes is given to us. And yet something obstructs our view and obstructs our way. And that's what leads to a feeling of dis-ease and lack of peace. And that's what Jesus is speaking to in this passage. And he's telling us, recognize it. See the obstructions. There's a Jesuit priest who I like very much, Anthony de Mayo. And he's forever quoting people and not remembering who he's quoting. So you're going to ask me, well, who said this? All I know is that it was an Oriental sage who Anthony de Mayo can't remember the name of. And again, Anthony de Mayo is a Jesuit priest. But the Oriental sage says, if the eye is unobstructed, it results in sight. If the ear is unobstructed, the result is... If the nose is unobstructed, the result is a sense of... If the mouth is unobstructed, the result is a sense of... If the mind is unobstructed, the result is...
Lack of clarity.
If the result... Right, if the mind is unobstructed, the result is wisdom. we're given what it is that we need to know. Now, no relationship goes smoothly all the time. And some relationships have built-in divisions. I met with a baptism family yesterday. They have a 5-month-old who I'm going to baptize in a few weeks. And they have a 2-year-old who I baptized about a year and a half ago. So the 2-year-old is on that cusp of what you all know, learning to say me and I, and learning to understand that there's a sense of distance in some way between himself and others. He's learning his sense of self. Natural division that needs to happen in order for community to come back together, in breath and out breath. I have, I'm aware of other families who have teenagers who are going through some of the same stuff as 2-year-olds, but on a different scale. And then others whose children are leaving home for college. So separation, division, which are natural and necessary. Imagine if it didn't happen, what the results would be. Talking to a friend who says that he was just seeing a show about cheetahs and how a mother cheetah takes care of her cubs for about 2 or 3 years and then stops, pushes them away, pushes them out. They need to learn to forage for their own selves. Some kinds of divisions and separations are natural in relationships. But again, no relationship goes smoothly all the time. John Gottman, in his book about why marriages succeed and fail, talked about the marriage relationship and how there's this ratio that seems to work in marriages that survive and thrive over the decades. Ratio of 5 to 1. 5 words and sounds and gestures of encouragement and validation to every 1 word or gesture or sign of discord. That even in relationships that thrive for decades and decades, discord always will still continue in one way or another. But that if there's enough sense of validation and communion, a sense of being loved and known and cared for, then we can get through those more disgruntled times of things not going just right. There's a lot that causes stress in our lives. Rachel Naomi Remen thinks that that stress has more to do with this division inside of ourselves than it does with what's required of us in our external lives. Some of you were here a year and a half ago when Rachel Naomi Remen spoke to us. But in one of her books, which I love, My Grandfather's Blessings, she says, stress may be more a matter of personal integrity than time pressure, determined by the distance between our authentic values and how we live our lives. What makes for good grapes? A congruence and an integrity between our authentic values and how we live our lives. What helps us get that integrity and congruity? Recognizing the obstacles. Recognizing what's in the way. And our theology tells us that it's just by recognizing, becoming aware of what's in the way, noticing it and seeing it as an obstacle, that we can stretch ourselves and grow in our understanding and in our life. I was reading you that quote from Anthony DeMello, that Oriental sage that he quoted. Later down the page, he adds one more. You know, we had the eye and the ear and the nose and the mouth and the mind obstructed. He adds one more. If the heart is unobstructed, the result is love. What makes for the growing of good grapes? Love. Love rooted in knowledge and wisdom. Love connected to our treasure, to our heart, what matters to us most. What gives us the energy and the discipline, a love that gives us the energy and the discipline to do the hard stuff. Caring for the vineyard. Keeping our eye on not just what's going on right this minute or today, but on the harvest. I want to share with you one exercise from the Heart Math Institute, which is in Boulder Creek. Just down the way, Boulder Creek, California. And it's interesting, it's one that I use quite often. So I want to share it with you. It's interesting too, just our hymn, our second hymn, the last verse, breathe through the hearts of our desire. Talking to God, breathe through the hearts of our desire. So this is an exercise that includes breathing through the hearts of our desire. If you want to do it with me. If you want, close your eyes or just look at someplace, just kind of gently. But imagine that you are breathing into your heart. You can put your hands there if it will help. Imagine that you are breathing into your heart. And imagine that you're breathing in God's love for you. And imagine that you're breathing out through your belly your love for one another. Breathe in the warmth and the light of God's sunshine, the tender rain. Let it nourish you. Then breathe out your care and compassion for the whole earth. I'm going to go fast. You can do this slower at home if you practice it at home. But now, think of one person who you care about deeply. But the things aren't always going smoothly with. Could be your partner, or child, co-worker, or colleague, or even a political figure who you've never met. Think of someone who you have a feeling of division with. Just think of this person. Have them come to your mind. And allow the unpleasant feeling of division to be felt in your body. How it feels when it's not going well with this person. This is the awareness of the obstruction. Seeing what it is in the vineyard that's not being tended to the way it needs to. And now, we're going to take just a few moments for what I invite you to spend a couple of minutes with later today. Breathe in a sense of well-being, peace, connection, whatever it is that you need when you feel that division with that person. Breathe it in from the cosmos. Where God lives. Let it warm you. And breathe out from your belly goodwill. Ultimate goodwill for the other. breathe in the values of God that you treasure. Love, peace, understanding, beauty. And breathe out these values and qualities to the one with whom you have sometimes a sense of division.
Amen.